any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It's not just the Beatles who need help. I think it's the United States of America in a very desperate situation today. Absolutely stunning stuff going on here. Tucker is getting to the heart of the problem with some of his exposés. He's doing a brilliant job. If you're missing his show, you're really not taking advantage of one of our best resources on the air. It's one show I endeavor to never miss. Tucker has been doing an expose now about George Soros. And this is far more important than you might think for a single person, because Soros is a truly despicable individual. He's doing an interview with the president of Hungary, where Boros was Hungarian-born. He's a billionaire. He does everything he can to undermine America. He has declared that what he wants to do in his lifetime before he dies is to destroy America. He was instrumental, by the way, in picking Kamala Harris to be the vice presidential nominee to run with Joe Biden. When that decision was made, oddly enough, it was rendered by his son, no doubt responding to Soros. He's in the forefront of advocating open borders, which are flooding the United States, and he also has been funding district attorneys across the country, such as we have in San Francisco, in St. Louis, in other areas where, such as Waukesha, where they're going weak on crime and turning the judicial system into a revolving door. Well, the Open Society Foundation, which was founded by Soros, is pushing back on Tucker's expose, which takes aim at Soros and his relationship with Hungary, where, by the way, there is an arrest warrant out for George Soros, and where we ought to have arrest warrants out for George Soros in the United States. He is a traitor to the United States, and because of his vast wealth, he's able to do tremendous damage to America. Tucker's Hungary versus Soros, a fight for civilization, created for the Fox Nation streaming service, pit Soros against the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. Carlson says Soros, the liberal billionaire whose Open Society Foundation claims to improve democracy and make governments accountable, is waging a kind of war, political, social, and demographic, on the West. Tucker explains the group is trying to eliminate national borders, to oust democratically elected leaders, to install ideologically aligned puppets into positions of power. 100% correct. And look how successful he's been with Biden and Harris in office. Open Society Vice President Laura Silber, however, responded that Soros and his group have worked for more than 30 years to support vibrant and inclusive democracies whose governments are accountable to the people they serve. Mr. Carlson appears to prefer authoritarian rule, state capture of media and the courts, crony corruption and rigged elections, which, of course, is completely absurd. She'd be talking about the Democrat Party and George Soros' key role in funding the Democratic Party. Tucker praises Orban in the documentary for his political efforts to incentivize family growth and for his normal lifestyle, where Hungary doesn't go for all this transgender woke nonsense. They are surprisingly civilized. I think most Americans would feel more comfortable living in Hungary or the equivalent, which we used to have here in the United States, than what we have here in the United States today. Orban's been in politics for 30 years, but he seems surprisingly normal, Tucker observes. He often drives himself to work, has dinner in Budapest without security. Every Thursday, he spends the day reading. He became prime minister in Hungary in 2010, has a legacy of hardline anti-immigration stances, for which he was praised by former President Trump. Indeed, I think one of the great accomplishments of President Trump was to secure our borders so that, in fact, there was a tiny, tiny, minuscule number coming through, which led to the effect of the lowest working age wage earners seeing their wages rise at the highest rate because there was not a constant stream of immigrants who are willing to work for even lower wages and fewer benefits. Well, get this. Now we have a report. U.S. on track to encounter record 2 million migrants on the southern border, government estimates show. It's increasing. All those riots, looting, and arson in the street last summer, the summer of 2020 to be specific, were motivated, financed by George Soros. He would brought in buses of Antifa and Black Lives Matter into Charlottesville, often on the same bus, to participate in these confrontations. In other words, George Soros has been actively employing the same techniques of staged riots, phony events, paid actors on the scene to foment unrest here in the United States that the CIA has classically used abroad. And remember, all those prominent Democrats speaking out, not opposing the lawlessness of these riots, these lootings, and these endless acts of arson. There needs to be unrest in the street. Even Kamala, protesters should not let up. Mad Maxine, if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gas station, you get out and create a crowd, you push back on them and tell them, they're not welcome anymore anywhere. I just don't know, said Nancy Pelosi. There aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be. But what there needs to be is uprising against the vax. Yet this, among the consequences of the Soros funding for candidates for district attorney, we have the theft wave, an organized smash and grab shoplifting show in California where the law needs to change. What they're doing is downgrading, right? Officially announcing that shoplifting up to 950 is basically not even going to be prosecuted. So you have whole caravans of these guys going into fancy stores like Louis Vuitton in San Francisco. Massively looting. I mean, they're carting out millions in equipment. And then you have the absurdities like the Holiday Whore in Waukesha. This guy, Daryl Brooks, was only out because the Waukesha DA thinks that bail is racist, had him out on $1,000 bail, even though his offenses, including running over his girlfriend, the mother of his child, one of several, with his SUV, which he then used to run into the parade. And this DA has said, he's publicly announced that he knows that this is going to have harmful effects. Some people are going to even die as a consequence. But in his opinion, it's the right thing to do, and it's worth it. How effing absurd is that for a DA? It's been a principle of American law that it's better for 9 guilty men to go free than for one innocent man to be convicted. And here he is letting the slaughter of innocents so a guilty man can go free. This is just absurd. Here's more about it. We are being invaded. Biden's secret nighttime missions exposed. Want to know what's happening to many of the millions of illegal migrants who flooded into the U.S. since Joe Biden took office? Police body cam footage taken at a regional airport in Westchester, New York. And by the way, Westchester is among the wealthiest, maybe the wealthiest county in the United States. In August, obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request, gives an idea. Fox, which is the only semi-responsible journalistic outlet that you can find regularly on the internet, God knows CNN, MSNBC, the major networks fall far short. They have become nothing but propaganda outlets. Reported the video shows Westchester Police Sergeant Michael Hambroski questioning multiple federal contractors about the arrival of a plane in the early morning hours. You're on a secure facility here. We don't really know anything. We're in charge of security, told one of the contractors. In other words, they're in charge of security, but they have no idea what this plane is doing. The contractor indicated they were transporting migrants. You don't want to be in somewhere where the spotlight is, he explained. You want to try and keep it on the down low as possible. A lot of this is just down low stuff that we don't tell people, because what we don't want to do is attract attention. We don't want the media. Like, we don't even know where we're going when they tell us. Another contractor said the Biden administration is betraying the American people. I get the whole secrecy and all that shit, but this is even above my effing pay grade, he said. And why? You know why, Hambuski wondered? You know why. Look who's in office. That's why. Come on, the contractor said. In another exchange, a contractor told Hambuski, we're not allowed to have our picture taken when we get on base. Un-effing believable, Hambuski responded. And who's that by? The Department of Homeland Security? Yes. That and the United States Army. The contractor replied, DHS wants everything on the down low. The contractor told Hambuski, technically, we're not supposed to show IDs or anything. Like I said, everything is supposed to be hush-hush. Former Westchester County Executive Rob Estorno, who obtained the 51 minutes of Hambuski body cam footage, told Fox host Tucker Carlson, our government is completely out of control right now. They have lied to us. They've lied to the American people, said Estorio, who's a Republican candidate for governor of New York. The change there, of course, can't happen too soon. He faulted the Biden administration's policies. They're waving them in. They're putting them on planes, sending them to airports closed at night, like Westchester, putting them on buses. Hambuski later discovered some were bound for Delaware, Virginia, and New Jersey. According to U.S. Customs and Border Patrol data, there were nearly 179,000 migrant encounters at the southwest border in December alone, over a 500,000 illegal crossings in the first 3 months of fiscal year 2022. For calendar year 2021, there were more than 2 million encounters. Biden sparked the record-breaking influx of illegal migrants to the U.S. by ending former President Trump's Remain in Mexico policy, halting construction of the border wall, tearing up the asylum agreements the previous administration had negotiated with Central American countries. Furthermore, despite the claim by the administration that it deports single males apprehended at the border, while allowing unaccompanied minors and family units to remain, Fox reported this week that is not the case. Trump has rightly argued that a nation without borders is not a nation at all. In polling, Americans have consistently given Biden his lowest approval numbers for his handling of the border and related immigration issues, hovering right now in the low 30s. Now, bear in mind, and I want to emphasize, what we have going on here is an invasion. This is an invasion of the United States that's been orchestrated by the Biden administration. Have no doubt about it. And when you have Homeland Security operating this, when you have the Army involved, you know, things have gone completely effing haywire, totally off the rails. This is completely disgusting. In part, it's because they have done studies that show that American soldiers are not willing to fire upon the American people. So they're using the vax to get the patriotic soldiers out of the military, and they're going to replace them with these young military-age migrants coming across the border from Guatemala, El Salvador, who knows where. They're going to put them in the Army, and they're going to use them against the American people because they're going to have no inhibitions about shooting on American citizens like you and me. This is what Joe Biden is doing. So don't let yourself be played. Don't think this is a kindly old man. As I've explained before, it's not even the real Joe. But this is absolutely unconstitutional. This is a betrayal of his oath of office. Nancy Pelosi is deeply involved. Chuck Schumer is deeply involved. George Soros is deeply involved. Barack Obama is deeply involved. The Israelis are deeply involved. The Jewish lobby, the Israeli lobby is deeply involved. The Rothschilds banking empire is deeply involved. Bill Gates deeply involved. It's all disgusting beyond belief. Meanwhile, we do have some good news, to wit that the tide is turning where several EU countries are scrapping their COVID restrictions, which, as I've reported, Boris Johnson did in the UK last Wednesday. Well, now we have reports of other UK countries doing the same. Several European countries this week announced plans to ditch COVID restrictions, including mass quarantine rules and capacity restrictions at indoor venues. Could COVID restrictions, at least in Europe, soon become a thing of the past? The tide is turning, said comedian and political commentator Jimmy Dore. People have had enough and they're starting to lift COVID restrictions. During a recent segment of the Jimmy Dore Show, he noted that England, Ireland, Norway, and Wales have announced an easing or complete end to restrictions that have dictated many aspects of public life over the last 2 years. He pointed to a recent piece in the Associated Press on how England decided to lift almost all of its pandemic-related restrictions. This, of course, by Boris Johnson. Face masks will no longer be mandatory in public places. COVID-19 passports will be dropped for large events, noting the government is no longer advising people to work from home and that compulsory face masks will be scrapped in secondary school classrooms starting January 28th, which, unless I miss a bet, is today. I'm moving to England, joked Dore. We will trust the judgment of the British people and no longer criminalize anyone who chooses not to wear a mask, said Prime Minister Boris Johnson. According to the AP, Johnson and the Health Secretary, Sajid Javid, said the government is planning for a post-pandemic period when it can treat COVID-19 more like the flu. That's, of course, completely appropriate since most of the cases reported as COVID were actually cases of the flu. As I've reported innumerable times, there were 38 million cases of the flu in 2020, which turned out to be only 2,000 in 2021 because they took 37,998,000 cases of the flu and simply reclassified them as COVID to generate numbers that would look as though a pandemic had arrived. There will come a time when we can remove the legal requirement to self-isolate altogether, just as we don't place legal obligations on people to isolate if they have the flu. Dore said comparing COVID to the flu would have gotten you kicked off of YouTube a couple of months ago. Al Jazeera has reported the Irish government is scrapping almost all of its COVID restrictions, including forcing bars and restaurants to close early and capacity restrictions on indoor entertainment venues. Mask requirements on Irish public transportation and shopping centers will be lifted next month. Ireland's Prime Minister, Michael Martin, suggested the number of seriously ill is well below the previous COVID peak because of booster shots. I wouldn't be so sure, but that's what he thinks. Maybe the number of seriously ill people is well below the previous peak because Omicron isn't as serious, Dore asked. In Wales, the BBC reported, more restrictions on people's daily lives have been eased. The Welsh government listed restrictions on pubs, restaurants, scrapped all limits on sporting events. The government also set January 28th, again today, as a date when nightclubs can reopen and the rule of six or social distancing will no longer be enforced. Norway is also scrapping its strict traveler quarantine rules that apply to all travelers entering the country. In Germany, the government has yet to lift any restrictions and is still pushing ahead with plans to make COVID vaccines mandatory. Ironic, since Reiner Fühlich, who's spearheading the ICC campaign, the legal campaign against those who are committing genocide, acts of war, crimes against humanity, is from Germany. So it would appear they haven't got the news yet. Maybe they missed the memo. The German newspaper Die Welt reported that because of government officials' unwillingness to lift restrictions, they are facing growing citizen pushback in the form of thousands of different protests across the country. Never before in the history of the Federal Republic have there been demonstrations that are more widespread than in the last few weeks, reported Die Welt. That's all very, very positive in my opinion. I like all of that. Let me add that we've had some very peculiar additional reports that are profoundly disturbing. News 2, Peter's Worldwide Exclusive. Embalmers find veins and arteries filled with never-before-seen rubbery clots. Rubbery blood clots, mind you. In this worldwide exclusive, Dr. Jane Ruby meets with board-certified embalmer and funeral director Richard Hirschman, who reveals for the first time ever arteries and veins filled with unnatural blood clot combinations with strange fibrous materials that are completely filling the vascular system. Many of the victims reportedly died of heart attacks and strokes. Mr. Hirschman reports that he found resistance when he tried to embalm these jab patients and then found these strange materials and pulled them from the large vessels of the body. He also reported that he's gone from seeing 50% of his embalmed cases with these types of blockage rise to almost 80%. And you know, that's because they are all vaxxed. Those who are dying are vaxxed. Meanwhile, we have a large peer-reviewed study proving that ivermectin works. Surprise, surprise. Regular use of ivermectin as a prophylactic has been associated with significantly reduced of COVID-19 infection, hospitalization, and mortality rates, we're now learning. This is the largest study yet of ivermectin. Researchers in Brazil have found regular use of ivermectin as a prophylactic is associated with significantly reduced COVID-19 infection, hospitalization, and mortality rates. The study was conducted in Ataja, a port city in the state of Santa Catarina, between July and December of 2020. Study authors include FLCCC physicians Dr. Flavio Cattigiani and Pierre Corey. Lead author Dr. Lucy Kerr was approached by the mayor of the city after it experienced a severe outbreak of COVID. The entire population was invited to participate in the program, which included a medical visit to compile baseline personal demographic and medical information. In the absence of contraindications, ivermectin was offered as a preventative treatment to be taken for 2 consecutive days, every 15 days, at a dosage of 0.02 milligrams kilogram per day. Of the 223,128 citizens considered for the study, a total of 159,561 elected to participate. Over 70% opted to take ivermectin, and 23% chose not to. The study found a 44% reduction in COVID-19 infection rate in favor of the group that took ivermectin. In cases where a participating citizen became ill, they were recommended not to use ivermectin or any other medication in early outpatient treatment. Of those who did become infected, 2 equal-sized, highly matched groups, one that used ivermectin as a prophylaxis and one that did not, were compared. The regular use of preventative ivermectin led to a 68% reduction in COVID mortality and a 56% reduction in hospital rates. That's very significant stuff. The participants who took ivermectin were older, had more diabetes, had more hypertension, had more asthma, had more cardiovascular disease, and they all benefited from taking ivermectin. That's the good news. When we turn from the break, I have a most serious study published by Edward Hendry that, alas, raises very serious issues about the pharmaceutical industry in general. We're about to hit the break, so I'll return to report on this. I wish I could tell you everything is all warm and fuzzy out there, but too many people are dropping dead. So we'll see exactly what happens here next.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, what I'm about to report, I think we will all find profoundly disturbing, just as it's disconcerting to discover that the White House, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of Defense are running an infiltration operation to bring in, flood us with migrants who are going to be used to kill us. And mark my words, that's what's going on here. This is as traitorous a situation as the United States has ever confronted. It's a little surprise they had to get rid of the real Joe Biden, because he, at least I think, in spite of being a pedophile and a corrupt politician with all kinds of entanglements with Ukraine and with China through his son Hunter, which their financial guy, Bobulinski, revealed way back when Tucker featured him. And again, you see accolades go to Tucker for these revelations. He even would not have been willing, I think, to participate in the invasion of the United States under the guise of migration. And you can see why they had to get Trump out of the way. What he was doing was actually putting America first. And while you might think that would be the obligation of any president of the United States, the contrast between, say, Obama, who preceded him, and Biden, who succeeded him, and Trump is simply overwhelming. Obama, remember, nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 in order to open a floodgate to all these kinds of stage shootings, phony events like Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. That was all compliments of Barack Obama by means of the Smith Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring us Sandy Hook. Barack Obama is going to go down as one of the greatest traitors in the history of the United States, but he's exceeded by this Biden administration. And again, I reiterate, they had to replace the real Joe with someone. I think the real Joe, in all probability, died in 2017. I pursued this in a lot of different venues, how we have a fake guy in office now. But I don't believe the real Joe for all of his faults, and they were massive, and he was a mediocrity, all things considered. Even he, I believe, would not have stood up for willingly and deliberately invading the United States by bringing in millions who are going to be brought into the military to be used against the American people. Mark my words. That is what is taking place now, right in front of God and everybody. They say, you know, those who are expert in forms of fraud, the best way to pull them off is to do them out in the open where they seem on the surface to be innocuous. The more open you are, the less people are willing to suppose that there's something to hide here because they're being so open and blatant about it. It's an element of a psyop that they should do this. Well, Edward Hendry has been doing a sensational job. He's an attorney. I do not know if he's practicing, but he certainly has an excellent legal mind. And what I'm about to share with you is going to blow your mind. The pharmaceutical companies have a financial incentive to make their vaccines injurious. Just to repeat, so you get the idea. Big Pharma has good reason to want to harm you with their vaccines. It's beneficial to them. Stand by. Congress passed the National Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, which granted immunity to the pharmaceutical companies for injuries caused by the vaccines they manufactured. As explained by the U.S. Supreme Court, in Brusewitz versus Wyeth, the reason for that protection is that Congress deemed vaccines to be unavoidably unsafe, unavoidably unsafe. Thus, no manufacturer would make a vaccine if they had to suffer the liability for injuries they would unavoidably cause. Mary S. Holland explains the issue. The success of the national vaccine program has come at a cost. Some children are permanently disabled or die from their vaccine exposures. Between 1980 and 1986, people who claimed vaccine injury brought over $3 billion of damage claims to U.S. civil courts against vaccine manufacturers. In response to the litigation that held them accountable for the injuries caused by their vaccines, the vaccine manufacturers lobbied Congress, and in 1986, under the Reagan presidency, they were able to get the NVIA, National Vaccine Injury Act, law passed, which had the effect of protecting them from civil liability for injuries caused by vaccines that they manufactured. The underlying legal reasoning of Congress for the 1986 NVIA law was a concept borrowed from the restatement of torts law that vaccines were unavoidably unsafe. Holland explains that the restatement describes all vaccines as unavoidably unsafe products and implicitly recommends that manufacturers not be liable for injuries if doctors administer them properly. The NVIA set up a system of government compensation for vaccine injuries that has, in practice, served more to prevent compensation than anything else. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. explains, parents, legal guardians, and legal representatives can file on behalf of children, disabled adults, and individuals who are deceased. According to the vaccine injured and their loved ones, the program has failed miserably as a litigious, broken system where the injured are up against a government vaccine program, government-owned vaccine patents, government health officials who administer the program, and government-paid attorneys from the Department of Justice. There is no judge, no jury of your peers, and no discovery. Claimants feel the system is set up for their claims to fail, about which there can be no doubt, I add. The Supreme Court in Brusewitz, supra, meaning cited above, ruled that language in the statute categorically exempts even design defect claims against vaccine manufacturers. Design defect, meaning even if it's a fault of the way they were designed deliberately. Holland explains a Supreme Court ruling removed incentives for pharmaceutical corporations to conduct the extensive research and development necessary to ensure that FDA-approved vaccines remain as safe and effective as possible after licensure. FDA approval has not been a sufficient guarantee of drug safety, owing in part to the FDA's limited authority to compel further safety research after final approval. How absurd is that? Holland reveals the real-world consequences of the NIVA for vaccine recipients. Gail DeLong showed that the proportion of people who reported a serious complication from a vaccine after the enactment of the act in 1986 is more than double the proportion of people who experience a serious complication from a disease before a vaccine for it was available. The difference is statistically significant and is likely greater because of underreporting. DeLong's analysis suggests that the Vaccine Act gave firms greater incentives to capture the regulator. If consumers cannot sue firms for product liability, the only barrier to sales is regulatory approval. The NVIA protects vaccine makers from liability for unavoidable injuries caused by vaccines and states in pertinent part. No vaccine manufacturer shall be liable in a civil action for damages arising from a vaccine-related injury or death associated with the administration of a vaccine after October 1, 1998, if the injury or death resulted from side effects that were unavoidable, even though the vaccine was properly prepared and was accompanied by proper directions and warning. In order to make sure the immunity from liability pill goes down easier for the public, the NVIA mandated that the Secretary of Health and Human Services promote the development of childhood vaccines that result in fewer or less serious adverse reactions than those vaccines presently on the market. That requirement was supposed to be performed by a task force made up of the directors of the National Institutes of Health, the commissioner of the FDA, and the director of the CDC. The NVIA statute required that within 2 years after December 22, 1987, and periodically thereafter, the Secretary of Health and Human Services shall prepare and transmit to the Committee on Energy and Commerce of the House of Representatives and the Committee on Labor and Human Resources of the Senate a report describing the action taken pursuant to subsection A during the preceding two-year period. The NIH, FDA, and CDC scoundrels, however, have thumbed their noses at Congress. They violated the law by not filing the required reports with the U.S. Congress. And as I understand it, not once have they filed the legally obligated reports. Why did they not file? The only logical reason is they did not meet as required, and they did not promote the development of childhood vaccines that result in fewer and less serious adverse reactions than those vaccines presently on the market, as required by the statute. That is clear evidence that the component agencies of HHS, CDC, NIH, and FDA have no interest in the development of safe vaccines for children. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. discovered the scufflaws in HHS when he filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the HHS requesting the reports prepared and transmitted to Congress as required by the NVIA. HHS refused to comply with the request because, of course, they didn't have any. So Bobby Jr. sued HHS. After being served with a lawsuit, HHS admitted they had never filed any required reports with Congress. That means that the component agencies of HHS, CDC, NIH, and FDA never formed the required task force and made no effort to see that vaccines were made safer. Think about it. Think about it. The very agencies to which we entrust guaranteeing or regulating products for medical use that we have heretofore taken for granted we're acting in the best interests of the American people and in accordance with the law are doing nothing of the kind. Nothing of the kind. The CDC, NIH, and FDA never met to develop a plan for safe vaccine for children. Why? Because CDC, NIH, and FDA know that the pharmaceutical companies have no interest making vaccines safe for children. Vaccines are unavoidably unsafe, and the vaccine manufacturers like it that way. Pharmaceutical companies get rich when people are made sick. It is a racket where they cause injury via their vaccines and then make the patent medicines to address the injury via their vaccines, the symptoms of the injuries they have caused. There was a fly in their ointment that was civil liability for the injuries they caused. The immunity granted by the NVIA solved the problem. Since the NVIA, the pharmaceutical companies have been off to the races, creating one ineffective and unsafe vaccine after another, deliberately by choice. As explained by Texans for Vaccine Choice, the NVIA removed all liability from vaccine manufacturers when their products injure or kill. Realizing that removing consumer accountability would eliminate any motivation for manufacturers to ensure their products are as safe and effective as they can possibly be, the mandate for safer childhood vaccine clause was added to the act as a check and balance. But we now know there is no check and balance, as Bobby Jr. explains. This speaks volumes to the lack of seriousness by which vaccine safety is treated at HHS and heightens a concern that HHS doesn't have a clue as to the actual safety profile of the now 29 doses and growing of vaccines given by 1 year of age. Think about it. HHS doesn't have a clue as to the actual safety profile of the now 29 doses and growing of vaccines given by 1 year of age. The CDC, when asked, was unable to provide any evidence that any childhood vaccine has ever been tested for safety using a placebo control. Think about it. The CDC, when asked, was unable to provide any evidence that any childhood vaccine has ever been tested for safety using a placebo control. So you get a contrast group, a placebo being a neutral or, you know, causally impotent contrast vaccine such as saline solution to compare with the effects of the vax on two control groups that were similar in their other characteristics. So you can see the actual effect that the vaccine would have on the sample population. Indeed, Bobby Jr. points out not one of the 72 vaccines on the schedule mandated for our children has been tested with a placebo. Not one. There is a reason no vaccine could ever survive being tested for safety and efficacy against a placebo. The pharmaceutical companies know that their vaccines are not only ineffective, they are injurious. Research has shown childhood vaccines cause injuries, and that is by design. A design for which the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled the drug companies have immunity from civil liability. And you begin to appreciate the enormity of the fraud being perpetrated on the American people. Our whole medical safety network is corrupt to the core, has been rendered immune by law, and has been upheld in this indefensible practice by our own Supreme Court. The CDC, NIH, and FDA know it is a fool's errand to try to convince the drug companies to manufacture something safe when to do so would undermine the drug company's pecuniary interest, that is, their profit margin. The surreptitious goal of the drug companies is to make people sick through vaccines. I repeat, the surreptitious or secret covert goal of the drug companies is to make people sick through vaccines. That is why the CDC, NIH, and FDA had nothing to report to Congress regarding their efforts to develop vaccines with fewer or less serious adverse reactions. The goal of the vaccine manufacturers is to cause injury. I repeat, the goal of the vaccine makers is to cause injury. The pharmaceutical companies, CDC, NIH, and FDA all know that vaccines will unavoidably cause injury. They have no interest in mitigating the damage caused by vaccines because those injuries make the pharmaceutical companies rich through the patent medicines they sell to address the injuries caused by their own vaccines. Because those injuries make the pharmaceutical companies rich through the patent medicines they sell to address the injuries caused by their own vaccines. I want you to think about this. The situation is simply monstrous, simply monstrous, where there really is no way in which the American people are being protected by these monstrous companies that are doing everything they can to damage and destroy us for the sake of profits, for the sake of profits. Now, among those who's been doing the best job of reporting what's going on is Mike Adams, a.k.a. the Health Ranger, who through Natural News has been updating us on what's going on. Here is his latest report. By decloaking the demons running the global depopulation campaign just telegraphed their exact plans for 2022 to 2024. Get this. And by the way, these articles are on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, including the Edward Henry, which is my most recent publication, Natural News. As the truth about the anti-human demonic entities running our world today is revealed in the present, where you've just had quite a dose of reality like a glass of ice water in the face, it provides the opportunity to reevaluate the past and gain new understanding from our own first-person witnessing of history as it unfolded. For example, we now know the globalists are, factually speaking, child-trafficking pedophiles. We know they run a global organ harvesting and transplant black market operation. We know they routinely plot to maximize corporate profits by killing any number of human beings in the process, COVID vaccines, pharmaceuticals, and such. And we know they plot false flag operations in order to run psychological terrorism campaigns against the people of the world. Witness those that have been sponsored or orchestrated under the tutelage of Barack Obama. With that realization, looking back at events like 9/11, the Oklahoma City bombing, even World War II, suddenly brings new clarity. We realize the history of the world is actually a history of globalist terrorism against the people of the world. Nearly every crisis we've all lived through was engineered on purpose and unleashed to achieve a globalist goal of profit, power, and depopulation. There are almost no acts of actual terrorism committed by individuals or groups that were not directly run by governments or funded by globalist operators. Once we fully understand the past and the present, we can see the future with much greater clarity. We know, for example, that anytime humans are on the verge of a mass awakening or freedom rave, globalists unleash another horrific terrorism campaign to keep people enslaved in fear. A key weapon of the globalists is to force people into isolation so they cannot talk with each other. COVID lockdowns were a part of this, but the far more effective strategy is to shut down the power grid so people can't even communicate electronically. globalists telegraph their moves ahead of time because they need to set up the appropriate narratives in advance of their next wave of attacks. For example, while they plan to take down the power grid themselves, they are putting out warnings that claim extremist groups want to target the power grid. The real extremist group in the USA is the FBI, of course, and there's nothing more extreme than a fraudulent regime that stole power by rigging elections and staging a hoax insurrection to demonize their political opponents. Knowing this with absolute certainty, having a firsthand experience now of how globalist governments are actively targeting humanity for total extermination, we can accurately anticipate their next escalation attack. The next play will be the final play against humanity. There won't even be any attempt to hide their real motivation. It now appears they're ready to play the endgame card against humanity and go for a total civilization takedown. This means disrupting or destroying the food supply chain, the power grid, telecommunications, monetary systems, and the rule of law. The goal is absolute chaos, resulting in mass death on a global scale. And the more chaos they can unleash, the more easily they can cover up the truth about vaccine deaths. All this confirms what we've suspected for quite some time now. The next attack vector will be one or more of the following. A staged cyber attack on the financial infrastructure to take down the transactional infrastructure and plunge cities into chaos. This will be the opening round of the Great Reset script. A deliberate takedown of the power grid to achieve a similar outcome. A subsequent telecom kill switch if needed to ensure the complete collapse of internet functionality so people can no longer connect online. A deliberate release of a highly aggressive pathogen with a very high kill rate, Marburg, Ebola, etc., or a toxic nanoparticle that simulates a pathogen. The panic from this will be used to drive additional vaccine campaigns, which are, of course, simply death shot injections. Domestic terrorism false flag operations that involve nuclear or radiological terrorism could also be the mass aerosolized spraying of populations using drones or chemtrail sprayers, as we see taking place today. Some very odd cloud formations, they appear to be upping their game. Provoking war with Russia or China and destroying the remaining U.S. military in the process, making America deliberately vulnerable for invasion. The suspension of fair and free elections, the invocation of medical martial law, mass gun confiscation, domestic checkpoints, COVID death camps, and similar operations. More when we're back from this break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'm going to open the phone lines early at about a quarter after the hour here. Remember the number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452, where Mitchell will get you on the air. But I do have a bit more to add before doing so. To complete what Mike Adams is reporting here, and I think he's absolutely 100% spot on. The timeline for this is obviously approaching very quickly because globalists are being forced to act. Here's why. The awakening is accelerating. The COVID narratives are collapsing. Humanity is beginning to rise up against tyranny, and the censorship effort has failed to stop it. The 2022 midterm elections are coming and cannot be allowed to take place, or Democrats, demon rats, communists by other names will be thrown out of power. Vaccine deaths are already accelerating and can't be hidden for much longer. The body bags are stacking up in the morgues and can't be ignored forever. Remember, those aren't COVID deaths. Those are deaths from the COVID vaccines. Thus, the almost certain window of opportunity for globalists to unleash their next wave of attack on humanity is between today and early November. That means we have fewer than 300 days remaining for the semi-reliable functioning of society as we know it. What will you do with these few hundred remaining days? I think that those are very, very serious questions. Meanwhile, it appears to me that all the overblown rhetoric coming from the Biden administration about Ukraine and Russia are really intended to be a distraction from the fact that the COVID narrative is collapsing? When have you seen Boris Johnson on television announcing pulling back the Plan B restrictions? I would wager, unless you've seen it here on my BitChute channel or one of my shows, the answer is zero. That's because this is the fake news media, as Trump called them out. I mean, it's really everything Trump did in terms of fake news, energy independence, closing the border, revitalizing the economy were sensational on behalf of the American people. And Biden, Harris, therefore, have been driven, motivated to undo it all. The fake Biden and the phony Harris. These are unbelievable individuals. By the way, there is one theory about with regard to the with the opening for the Supreme Court, there's speculation that Biden might nominate Kamala Harris for the court, even though she's massively unqualified. If there were some way the Democrats could get that through, then he could appoint Hillary to be the vice president, the new vice president, if there's some way they could get that through as well. And then he would step down for reasons of health and Hillary would become president. Talk about your nightmare scenarios. This woman is as corrupt as they get. I will declare, no one on planet Earth is more corrupt than Hillary Clinton. There are some, like Bill Gates and, Klaus Schwab and other miscreants, the Rothschild family, who are behind a lot of damage to the world, but Hillary is right up there with them. Meanwhile, we may go too far. Indeed, it may be that the Biden administration actually wants a war with Russia. Believe me, Russia is not interested in taking Ukraine. Ukraine's a massively corrupt country. Ukraine has huge debts. Why would Russia want to assume the control of all those debts for a corrupt country? The Russian forces are only there in case Ukraine, the Kiev, launches an attack on the eastern part of Ukraine, which is Russian speaking and very closely tied, to come to their defense. But we all know there's no end of false flag ways they can manipulate the situation. We're hearing nothing but endless repetition of Russia as the aggressor when nothing could be further from the truth. Well, here are a couple of new reports. Europe panics as Biden threatens to nick Nord Stream 2 pipeline if Russia invades Ukraine, and boots 27 diplomats. Booting diplomats, by the way, has historically been viewed as a prelude to war. This is a report from yesterday. President Biden upped the ante on Vladimir Putin, warning the Russian leader that if he invades Ukraine, the U.S. will nix the $11 billion Nord Stream 2 pipeline while booting 27 diplomats from Washington. The threat alone sent European nations into a spin, since that would effectively cut off gas supplies in the midst of winter. Germany, which has been very soft on Russia concerning Ukraine, backed the threat by Biden. Massively not in the interest of the German people, by the way. Another case where the political figures are violating their obligation to represent the best interests of their nation. I want to be very clear. If Russia invades Ukraine, notice, one way or another, they add, one way or another, even if it's coming to the defense of the Russian population, the Russian language-speaking population in eastern Ukraine, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward. State Department spokesperson Ned Price informed reporters, sparking panic in everyone except Putin, it would seem. Price did not give specifics, but stated, "We, the U.S., will work with Germany to ensure it does not move forward." Price told NPR, which is a government propaganda outlet, that Nord Stream 2 was not yet operational, which means it is leverage for us and for Germany. It is leverage for the transatlantic community because gas is not flowing. I've seen a map. It's quite a substantial map of getting, you know, all this gas into Germany. Most of the pipeline is underwater, by the way. Rather fascinating. It is supposed to begin operating this year. German Foreign Minister Baerbock told the parliament they were working on a strong package of sanctions with Western allies, including Nord Stream 2, according to the Daily Mail. Emily Haber, who is Germany's ambassador to Washington, ostensibly endorsed sanctions, including the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, Thursday. She tweeted, "The U.S. and Germany jointly declared last summer that if Russia uses energy as a weapon, or if there's another violation of Ukraine's sovereignty, Russia will have to pay a high price. Nothing will be off the table, including Nord Stream 2. This would cause a huge uproar in Germany. It would be calamitous. Germany would be devastated by the cancellation of the pipeline. They are the largest consumer of Russian gas in the world, relying on Russia for over 50% of their supply." Marcus Gruber, CEO of one of Germany's largest utilities, warned Germany would feel the frozen bite of winter if the Russian supply of gas cannot be replaced in the short term. So far, Putin seems unfazed by the threat. The Biden administration is scrambling to source gas from other countries in case Russia cuts off energy supplies. Experts believe it's a doomed effort. There's not enough gas to cover the shortfall. While all this drama is playing out, Biden ejected 27 Russian diplomats from the District of Columbia, sending them packing back to Moscow on Tuesday, according to the Russian embassy. At the State Department request, our colleagues were forced to leave earlier than their tenure expired. This is so manipulative. This is so un-American. This is so despicable. Absolutely grotesque. Russian Ambassador Anatolia Antop commented, "I don't like this kind of activity. I love it when you decide how much work to do, how to work, and when to leave. So with sadness, I say goodbye to you. Thank you," Antonov said on Facebook. The State Department has already recalled the family members of diplomats working at the U.S. Embassy in Kiev. The department remarked it would not be in a position to evacuate U.S. citizens were Russia to invade Ukraine. Biden is prepping to deploy 1,000 troops to protect Eastern Europe, which of course is a mere pittance, would make no difference whatsoever. The U.S. has already put 8,500 soldiers on standby in case they're needed. The U.S. and NATO provided Russia with written proposals on Wednesday in an attempt to advance a diplomatic path forward, while warning that Russia could invade Ukraine within days. Analysts have warned that handing Putin a formal rejection in writing of his security demands could help make his case for war with Ukraine. It is yet to be seen how Putin will react to the threat of canceling the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and the rejection of his demands. The rejection of his demands, let me say, has already taken place, already moved forward, where the demands were simply written assurances that the West would stop seeking to militarize the former Eastern Bloc countries that were part of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. This was part of the negotiation between Mikhail Gorbachev, then president, and Ronald Reagan, where Lee Wanta was designated as Reagan's ambassador to negotiate the dissolution of the Soviet Union, and where part of their understanding was no effort would be made for the West to move in that direction of taking control of any of those NATO nations, nor to make them members of those Eastern Bloc nations, nor to make them members of NATO, nor to put military equipment on the border of Russia, all of which the United States has violated again and again and again. So Putin is now simply asking for a formal declaration that Ukraine, for example, will not be turned into a NATO nation, which the Secretary General of NATO has refused. Now, just bear in mind, this is as though, say, Communist China wanted to put military batteries on our border with Mexico and with Canada. How would the United States feel about that? Obviously, we would be outraged. But that's exactly what's going on now in Eastern Europe. The U.S., NATO is encroaching. NATO has long since outlived its usefulness. It was intended to be designed as a defensive compact between affected nations for a, should the Soviet Union seek to expand its reach into Europe. But obviously, since the Soviet Union no longer exists, there can no longer be a threat from the Soviet Union to extend its reach. For Russia has been used as a boogeyman ever since Hillary went about trying to claim there'd been a Russiagate interference with a hacking, which William Binney, our nation's leader cybersecurity expert, debunked, observing that the rate at which the files had been downloaded was far too rapid to have been from distant Russian hacking, and that it was done in the Eastern time zone, where Seth Rich, who was the IT guy working for the DNC, who was a Bernie Sanders supporter, who was disgusted with the way in which Bernie had been denied the nomination, where Debbie Wasserman Schultz, then the chair of the DNC, had moved 13 primaries that Bernie had won into Hillary's column to guarantee that she would be the nominee. He was so upset by this, he downloaded the files and shared them with Julian Assange, who would then publish them on WikiLeaks. This was an heroic act for which Seth Rich paid for with his life. This is all terrible, terrible stuff. And I have no serious doubt that John Podesta, who is also running the DNC with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, directed that the shooting should take place. This is a conclusion to which my research has led, where I even published a book exposing the Russia hoax, which you can find online. And I just say everything going on here is consistent with that scenario where we are manufacturing the problems ourselves and then going about imposing solutions detrimental to the American people with this Russia thing. It's mostly a distraction. Now, at this point, I'm glad to open the phone lines if anyone would like to call. The number again, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will get you on the air and we can discuss any of the above or other issues on your mind. 540-352-4452. Meanwhile, the Democrats plan to use a GOP playbook for fast action on their Supreme Court pick. The Democrats who control the Senate plan to move Biden's upcoming nominee, a replacement for retiring Justice Breyer, on a quick timetable, similar to the single month Republicans used for Justice Amy Coney Barrett, a person familiar with the planning set. Breyer, 83, will retire when the court's current term wraps up in June. Democrats narrowly control the Senate. Of course, it's actually 50-50, where the vice president casts a deciding vote, which confirms judicial nominees. Now, let me explain why this is taking place. Breyer, I'm convinced, really wasn't ready to retire. But with a failure of their mislabeled Voting Rights Act that would enable the Democrats to steal every future election in the United States at the federal level by massive mail-in balloting with no ID vote requirement, they're having to do something to deal with the grim reality that all of the pollsters are in agreement. The Democrats are facing a bloodbath in 2022, consistent with my projection that they're going to lose 100 seats in the House and 3 to 4 seats in the Senate. In other words, after the midterm election, the Democrats aren't going to be able to control what happens in Washington, D.C. This cannot happen soon enough. Now, notice, as Mike Adams observing, this is why before the midterm, the demons who are running the genocidal globalist agenda have to act before the midterm, because once that happens, the Democrats will no longer have political control of Washington, D.C., which they only secured under the most fabricated circumstances by the massive theft of the election of 2020, where they want to pillory anyone who suggests or any questions about the authenticity or legitimacy of that election, notwithstanding they had spent the previous nearly 5 years attacking Donald Trump as an illegitimate president, claiming that the election of 2020 was stolen. And now we have the fake Joe Biden even suggesting the midterm might be stolen because they already know they're going to take a bath. It's going to be devastating. She wants to lay a foundation for that claim. But if 2020 was stolen by the Democrats' own narrative, if 2022 is going to be stolen, if 2016 was stolen by the Democrats' own narrative, if 2022 is going to be stolen by Biden's implication, then why should we not be able to question the election of 2020, for which there is simply overwhelming evidence? Senate Democrats do not have to await Breyer's departure to clear a nominee who would be sworn in when he formally steps down. Former President Trump nominated Amy on September 26, 2020, a little over a week after the death of liberal Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The Senate, then led by Republicans, confirmed Barrett on October 26. That's just a month after the nomination, a week before the presidential election, Trump ostensibly lost to Biden, but we know it was grand theft election. Barrett's appointment boosted the court's conservative majority to 6-3. Replacing Breyer will not change the ideological makeup of the court, because a Biden nominee is expected to be a liberal, just as is the retiring justice. But the decision is key, particularly to liberals who want to yield no further ground on the high court. The Senate is now split evenly between 50 Democrats, including the two independents who align with them, and 50 Republicans. Under this makeup, Vice President Kamala Harris can cast the tie-breaking vote on legislation and nominations. As a result, Democrats want to move as quickly as possible to confirm Breyer's replacement, because if any of the 50 members of their caucus were unavailable to serve for any reason, they could lack the votes to confirm the nominee. They also face the risk that Republicans will regain control of the Senate in the November 8th midterm elections, which I guarantee, assuming the elections are allowed to take place, if that occurs, top Senate Republican Mitch McConnell has indicated he would block Biden nominations to the top court. We do have a caller here, Scott from San Diego, standing by. Scott, join the conversation.
Hey, Warren, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I have a kind of a sidetrack thing here. You're aware of the convoy in Canada, right?
Yes, indeed. It's heroic, and I'm very, very impressed by what's going on. Where GoFundMe has just released over $6 million in donations. They've been holding it back. In my opinion, GoFundMe has been utterly irresponsible and corrupt and selective by imposing political standards. Go forward, Scott. Tell us more about the convoy, which I regard as an historic act of protest.
Well, my question is, well, kind of a suggestion. Do you know, are they trying to make Trudeau resign? Is that one of their demands?
Well, I think the principal objective is to withdraw all the restrictions and the vax mandates that Canada has imposed, just as has already.
I wonder,
Go ahead.
My suggestion would be that they demand a public live televised debate to get Trudeau and these leaders out there to answer questions and put our, you know, our Malones and McAuliffes and Tenpennies and you know, all of our people against their people and have a debate. That's what they should be demanding.
Well,
answer
well,
some
the
questions.
Fact, Scott, the facts aren't really an issue. Everyone knows the vax is deadly. Everyone knows the vax is corrupt. I'll just give you a lengthy report from Edward Henry why the vaccine industries benefit from making vaccines that are unsafe, even deliberately and by design. I think.
Well, of course. A window repair guy is not going to support unbreakable windows.
Scott, hang on. What I'm saying is, I think what the truckers are doing by having a massive protest that essentially is going to lock down all commerce in Canada is to force the government to take an action it does not want to take. I agree, of course, that if there were a debate, it would be lopsided, that there's no way the pharmaceutical representatives or someone who's as pathetic as Justin Trudeau could uphold a debate with serious people like Sherry Tenpenny, Judy Mikovits, Peter McCullough, and so forth. So your suggestion has merit intellectually, but this isn't an intellectual contest. This is a matter of raw political power, and I do believe the truckers are doing the right thing.
Right, right. I think they're doing the right thing too. I'm just saying that this should be one of their points, because you say everybody knows that the vaccine is bad and everybody knows this, but you know, apparently not, because I still see people wearing masks in their cars and I see people lining up for tests.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to we need to find some sort of an opportunity and some sort of a venue to force these people into the spotlight and force them to answer questions, because they've never had to answer serious questions. They've only been talking to, you know, bought off a compromised media, you know. So they've like this jerk off that wants to eliminate Rogan from Spotify. I mean, okay, you know what? You don't like what he says? Why don't you go on a show and debate him? Show him where he's wrong. Show everybody where he's wrong. But these people don't do that. They can't do that.
Scott, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. You make a valuable suggestion. Look what happens when Anthony Fauci debates with Rand Paul. Fauci lies.
Yeah.
That's what we could expect. I'm glad you called, Scott. We're taking a break.
All right, thanks, Jim.
You got it. And I welcome other callers right after we return from this break.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, again, I invite anyone who'd like to call in about these issues. They're pretty serious and profoundly troubling. Is welcome to call 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Meanwhile, I'd like to welcome Mitchell. If you have any thoughts yourself you'd like to answer, address or contribute, I would welcome that.
Hey, Jim. Hi, everybody. I hope you're doing well. If you haven't heard, just put it in the chat here, Jim. Barry Manilow and Bette Midler are also now demanding that Spotify remove their music. One of the biggest questions that was asked is, who in the hell is Neil Young?
I think that's wonderful.
But, yeah, it's this evolution of censorship is really amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I don't know what else we got to talk about. You know, Ukraine. You know, Ukraine is just another one of those perception riddles that government likes to pull and push, and you know, get create the problem. You know, rather than just
yes,
stay out of the way.
Yes. Well, I certainly have more on which I can report, but I'm sure glad to have anyone who'd like to participate and contribute to join in. The situation we're in, Mitchell, is just absolutely stunning, including that the Biden administration has sold out the American people. I mean, can you believe the treason being exercised by this administration against the American people? I mean, I would never have believed it could happen in America, and here it is staring us right in the face. It's impossible to deny. It is the grim reality.
I said it on my show many times, Jim. Ukraine must die. It is the biggest liability that the Democrat Party, that Joe Biden and the liberals face because of their conspiracy and collusion and their use of Ukraine to essentially attack Donald Trump on top of the Russia collusion, one of the things I keep pointing out that the black ledger created through Alexandra Chalupa and the Ukrainian embassy in the United States, which communicated with the American embassy in Ukraine, where Konstantin Kilmanik, I believe is his name, created this false ledger, this false black ledger, and then they inserted it into the U.S. 702 intel system. And as it was put into the system, the American side, which is the was harvested by Nelly Orr through the U.S. 702 intel system and then given to the FBI, CrowdStrike, and some and a few other people. But it was essentially a complete forgery. You know, as we look at the Durham investigation, as it slowly moves forward, and we now know, you know, that Mark Elias has testified under the, in the grand jury, along with numerous CIA and FBI agents and former agents have been forced to testify. The truth is slowly coming out, and they're slowly putting it together. The plausible deniability that they all are counting on is waning away because they've all have denied knowledge of the Trump-Russia collusion efforts by the Clinton campaign. And it appears that Mark Elias is trying to shield the campaign, but that's not going to work. There's too many other connections. I think he billed the Clinton campaign, was it 380 or 480 different times for the work he did on Russia collusion, counterintelligence operation, really, for the Clinton campaign. So there's a lot of things that are breaking. That this is another reason why I say Ukraine must die. It is the biggest liability that the Democrat Party faces. Particularly, you know, listen, Nancy Pelosi is in the hot seat on this, even though you never hear her name mentioned. But, you know, this false impeachment with Eric Ciaramella, Adam Schiff, Little Circle, Colonel Vindman, you know, that's all Ukrainian based. And all those lies are circling back around and they're going to be exposed. And they have to destroy the credibility of anything, Ukraine, anything. That's how I see the Ukraine agenda.
Elaborate a little more on that, Mitchell. That's a fascinating idea that they've got to kind of what wreck Ukraine, and they want to do it by means of a war so that Ukraine can't any longer figure in the political discussion of corruption of the Biden administration. Some have suggested that sending all this military equipment to Ukraine is another way in which Biden is paying off his corrupt cronies in the government for not revealing, you know, the Hunter Biden corruption and his own participation, except it's not the real Joe Biden. It's just they have to act as though it were in order to preserve the illusion, because if it comes out that all the corruption about Biden, which Tony Bobulinski, for example, was confirming when Tucker Carlson had him on during the debates, and he nearly jumped out of his chair when Biden was making these false claims about not being involved. People think it's the real Joe. So if there's evidence the real Joe was involved in the corruption, obviously they're going to hold it against the fake Biden, even though it's not the real guy.
Well, we have to understand that in this political world that we're in, that everything is perception is everything, and everything is perception. Just as Biden tried to tell the President Ghani in Afghanistan, Ghani, excuse me, that he must put forth this false bravado, so to speak, and say everything's good, we're doing great, you know. Doesn't matter how bleak the picture is, you know, you have to maintain a certain perception. And I believe that also goes, you know, with Ukraine and with everything else. And even with Joe Biden, here's the kicker, I think. Even with Joe Biden out of the picture, there is so much collateral damage for the Democrat Party itself on Ukraine. Just for the simple fact that we overthrew Ukraine in a color revolution. And we just had Victoria Nuland in, I believe, August. She was supposedly negotiating in Moscow. And everything, you know, that's one of the things, everything that we've seen transpire as far as Ukrainian policy, all of that drastically changed since August. And I look at August and when Victoria Nuland was there trying to negotiate something about Ukraine, you know, since then we've had the attempted color revolution in Kazakhstan. Belarus has been targeted within the last year. You know, we see the ongoing NATO efforts to have these color revolutions in former Soviet republics and turn them and then weaponize them against Russia. And it is an attack. It's not even a perceived attack. It is a direct attack, you know, against the Russian Federation, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't see how Putin cannot do something here.
Yes, he has to respond. Kazakhstan, you know, and we pumped what, 1.25 million into the National Endowment of Democracy grant of some kind. And that's just CIA money to destabilize any place and anywhere. And something else I say on my morning show, the U.S. State Department. You know, at one time it may have been a part of a, you know, this grand idea of an administrative side for, you know, the grand party of the state, so to speak, functions. But it really today it's been so manipulated and so turned around. The State Department is just a public face for CIA. I mean, it really, that's the only function it really has today when you look at the State Department in our foreign policy. So,
go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, I really don't see, I really don't see much happening over there except, well, more destabilizing stuff. And like I said, I believe, you know, it has to happen in Ukraine. Because Biden has to, they try to figure out to save their ass somehow. I don't, you know, that's my view of Ukraine. We went into Ukraine, and we ran a whole series of color revolutions through North Africa, the Middle East, into East Asia, and into Ukraine. And it's clear that we're still in the active processes of what? Syria, for example. And, you know, the ongoing atrocities in Yemen with the Houthis. I mean, that's all these things are tied together. We also have, I don't know if you're aware, but they've been having severe problems in Turkey. Of course, Turkey's currency has been under very, very stressful inflationary pressures. But Iran cut off gas or had low gas pressure coming from Iran into Turkey, which caused numerous industries to effectively shut down. The Turkish military is having trouble keeping its 12-mile-wide annexation of Syrian territory under control. And, of course, the Kurds, funded by the U.S., are another thing that's another destabilizing effect. And we still have the low brew war. Gosh, what is it? Azerbaijan and, gosh, I forget who it is. But, you know, you have that little, you know, Turkish venture there, and you have the Turkish venture in Libya. There's just so much going on that, none of it's good, and it's all destabilizing. So
here's an interesting brand new report from the Political Insider. Could Joe Manchin sink Biden's Supreme Court nominee? That's a pretty damn interesting idea. Manchin has sent mixed messages about Biden's Supreme Court upcoming nominee to replace Breyer. On the one hand, he implied his support was not guaranteed. On the other, that he couldn't support someone more liberal than himself. This is pretty damn interesting. You know, the whole idea of announcing that he's going to appoint a black woman on the Supreme Court violates decisions by the Supreme Court. You cannot use, you know, race, for example, as a basis for a hiring. And we're talking about a position, a lifetime position, a hiring onto the Supreme Court. I mean, the lawlessness of this administration or complete and utter incompetence, I sure think it reinforces Obama's observation, never underestimate Joe Biden's ability to F things up.
I was laughing. Joy Behar on The View went off on a screed this morning that was basically, it's a racist screed about the Republicans nominating Clarence Thomas because you couldn't say he was racist and he would still vote conservative because he's black. I was like, damn. You know, it's amazing the mental gymnastics that liberals go through to justify their bigotry and bias. It's just really amazing.
It is fairly stunning. The Breitbart has noted Manchin would not be a rubber stamp for Biden, highlighting Manchin's comments. I take my constitutional responsibility to advise and consent on a nominee to the Supreme Court very seriously. I look forward to meeting with and evaluating the qualification of President Biden's nominee to fill this vacancy. In other words, he's going to expect this person to have qualifications over and beyond being a black and being a woman. And Mitchell, it's just embarrassingly bad. You know, I think it was even Tom Lehrer who used to joke about how, you know, not discriminating on the basis of ability and competence. But that's what's going on here. They're not giving consideration to ability and competence. They're taking for granted that a black woman would, by virtue of being a black woman, be qualified for the position, which is just absurd. Of course, they're going to give it an aura of plausibility, but I think it's a pretty outrageous when they're being so blatant in promoting their concept of diversity or equity. It's really fairly stunning when you stop and pause to analyze what's going on here.
Well, when it comes to Democrats, everything they do is virtue signaling, you know, to show how of a superior culture liberalism is. I mean, that's just what I get out of it. Okay. You know, these, the liberals today, are, you know, the snotty old colonialists that, you know, used to come in an indigenous community and say, we're here to take care of all you uncivilized savage bastards. That's what I get from liberals today.
Isn't it something? Isn't it something? I think it's about that bad job. I don't think that's an exaggeration, Mitchell, actually.
Oh gosh, yes, they're exaggerating or me. I just can't. It's crazy, Jim. It really is. It's crazy. You know, Justin Trudeau, you know, with his comments about the Freedom Convoy, and, you know, effectively saying, you know, it's a minority group of people that have unacceptable views. Yeah, that's what, you know, that's what these, liberals, or I should say, that's what conservatives and others used to say to justify their bigotry, their hatred of somebody else that was indigenous or a native or somebody else that was just different or of a different religion. It's madness. It really is. It's madness.
What, pure ideology, and it's unbelievably superficial. I mean, and do you agree with the critique I was offering of the betrayal of the United States by allowing all this massive influx of immigrants? I really do believe that is their plan, Mitchell, to integrate them into the U.S. military so they can have soldiers who will fire on American citizens, which Americans are not disposed to do.
Yeah, I don't know. But what I do know is that they're trying to replace entire populations, and they're trying to replace working people, working Americans with working immigrants and working illegal immigrants. I really believe a lot of it is just to destroy the economy of, you know, of the American people and destroy therefore their political power or their ability to project political power, you know, through any kind of economic means. And, you know, this is just part of this divide and conquer game that the elite have been playing with people for hundreds of years. So.
Yes, yes, yes. Putting it in context. Well, I reiterate, if anyone wanted to squeeze in a comment here at the last moment, I suspect everyone is just so appalled by what I've been reporting and where it's available on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. I think everyone needs to check it out because we need to be aware of what we're up against and the fact that the big pharma is operating in the interest of big pharma, and that the agencies we have supposed we could count upon to protect the American people from abuse by those that are providing medicine and formulating policy, it's all a myth. It's all a complete myth, Mitchell. It's a joke that CDC and FDA really are the marketing arm of Big Pharma. They're a PR operation to deceive the American people into thinking that what's going on here is legitimate and on the up and up, when actually they are literally attempting to kill us and in staggeringly large numbers. And astonishingly enough, they are succeeding. They are succeeding. We have a 1-2-3-1 caller here joining us. I'm glad to have you join. 231, join the conversation. Just give us your first name and your state.
Yes, Ken from the Mitten, which is Michigan.
Go for it, Ken.
Yeah, Joe Biden has always been a real sicko. I think he's a communist. Do you ever hear that rant that he did about nonstop immigration, relentless, nonstop crossing the border? And that was a few years ago he said that. And his comments on South Africa, you know, not helping, you know, totally apartheid and the complete takeover of the minorities. Kind of like what Solzhenitsyn said, but in Russia, all the people that were against Russia were not Russians. All the people that were causing trouble in the the communists themselves. They were, you know, the Bolsheviks weren't even Russian, and they were infiltrated the government and the population and caused the overthrow. So they're playing using that same script in the United States.
I think that's exactly right, and it's playing out so obviously, so baldly, that I think you can no longer deny it. If you're paying any attention, you have to be horrified. And it therefore just stuns me how many do not appear to be paying attention. I'm just rather stunned.
Right. It's, yeah, like just the people are zombies. They you know, think that they can't argue with the science and, you know, and the beauty of the internet has all this information, which, shows us that basically we were played, you know, we were played during the world wars and how it's, some people just don't want to admit that they've been fooled, you know, or they just, say that the internet's wrong when it, you know, other people's opinions don't matter. The mainstream media is the only thing that matters, which is crazy.
Are you able to have conversations with, friends in Michigan about these issues, or are they unwilling to take a stand?
Well, I work in the construction field, so a lot of the guys that are on construction crews agree, you know, and they know that Biden's probably, you know, stole the election. You see a lot of the farmlands, or they actually have F. Biden on the front lawn, you know, and flags flying F. Biden. So
I like that. I like that. Or let's go Brandon. I mean, that's what a wonderful euphemism. I mean, hell, that's just become, you know, hugely popular across the nation. I'm delighted you called in. Do you have a final thought you'd like to share before we reach the conclusion today?
Yes, I still have faith in Donald Trump. I think he is a rock star. He can knock every politician out of the ballpark just from how he speaks, his authority and command of the politics that he runs, because he is dissatisfied with the way that both parties have acted. And so, you know, he's unbelievable.
I'm delighted you called in. Thanks to Mitchell and everyone out there in the audience. Spend as much time as you can with your families and loved ones, because we do not know how much time we have left.
Thank you, Jim.
Got it.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was...